is far. So he went 40 days and 40 nights to the mount. And when he got to Mount Horeb, the Bible says that there was a mighty blast and rumbling, but the voice of God was not in the midst of it. That was just introducing that God is coming. And then suddenly a very quiet, calm tranquility, and God spoke. In this minute tonight, God is speaking. Amen. Something dramatic will happen to you. Amen. Amen. Let me whet your appetite for a few minutes. Darling, you can now take your seats, please. You know, I feel like taking these folks to London. But if I do so, what am I going to leave with you in Bristol? Do you know something before I anoint you tonight? I want to know, first of all, that anointing, that is laying on of hands, is instituted by God. And when, that's why the Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. The power of God and the unction of God can be received by two means. Either by you praying or someone praying and you receive it. That is one way. Another way you receive the unction and power of God is by laying on of hands. Let me say this to you. It's not only by the Spirit of God is transmitted by laying on of hands. Demonic spirit can be transmitted by laying on of hands. In the occult, those who are superior one, they lay hands on the junior ones and infuse some demons to them. Because it is a principle of the Spirit. Do you get me now? But in the church of God, if you look at anointing, that's the reason why if any one of you go to any big convention, you see people preaching, any minister you don't know well, don't let him touch your head. Because your head is the entrance to your destiny. I did a lecture with you this year, talking about your hands, your head, and your feet. The significance of your head, your hand, and your feet. All what you become today came by virtue of your head, your thoughts. Correct? Where you are today, you thought about it, it's in your head. All what you achieve today is the work of your hand. All the office you occupy today, you use your feet to work there. You get it now? So, I think that lecture, I will tell them to bring it out again so that CFT Global can just listen to it. Your hands, the Bible says that the Lord will open the storehouse of heaven. He will pour his rain upon the works of your hand. So the hand is an entrance. Then the Bible says, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread, you possess. I remember when I was called to America, where they have a city in America that had been dedicated to Lucifer for 100 years before I got there. And when we got to that city, it's dedicated to witchcraft. It's called Casadega. It's in Orlando where Benny Hinn used to be. But in his days there, I was called because, you know, this very borough is only witches that buy land there. Every land is medium witchcraft and stuff, every house there in the whole borough. And witches come from Africa, from India, from all over the world, Satanists, to hold conventions and seminars there. So they cast spell on the city, Orlando. And in Orlando, you have a lot of suicide among young ones. And you have a lot of breakages, you know, family breakdown in Christendom. Many ministers can't keep marriage because they are under demonic attack. So I was told and I went. So when we went there, I went straight away into the house of, into the compound to go and meet the head of all the witches who are doing the rubbish there. So having discussed with her, unfortunately, she thought I was one of them from England. So she gave me the map and showed me where the devil is. And so we got there. We drove there. I said, I'm coming. We drove there. When we got there, did you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, remove your shoes and put your foot, the sole of your feet. Put is a river. He said, put your left foot in the river and your right on the ground, dry ground. And speak to the ground, and it shall be so. Oh, then it came to my understanding. God said to Joshua, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread, you possess it. So I removed my shoes, put one foot in their river, that they conjure demons and stuff, and put one foot on the dry ground. All the devils of India, the devils of Africa, the devils of Saudi Arabia, all of them come there. And I spoke to the ground. And I commanded the spirits that had enthroned in that place for 100 years plus to move in the name of Jesus. And it was so. It was so. Standing on that ground today is a church of 3,000 seater. Do you get me now? So your foot, your hands, your head is entrance. But however, therefore, in the scriptures, I'll give you just a few brief scriptures and then we go pray because we having this very briefly today. It says in the book of Numbers 27, 18, so the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hands on him. Okay? That is 27 verse 18. Then in Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, it says, now Joshua son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid hands on him. So there was a transmission of wisdom. Do we get that now? So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. So when Moses laid hands on Joshua, wisdom came. I think that wisdom costed Moses 40 days and 40 nights before God to get the unction. As we all recognize, he went up twice. One by God, the second time because he broke the stone. He went. If you look at it also, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, it says, for this reason I remind you to fan to flame, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So when Paul laid hands on Timothy, the gift of God came out of Paul into Timothy. And so Paul said to Timothy, fan it to flame. You see, these are one of the things that you inherit by through sonship in the spiritual. When a father in the house gives birth to a child, the gene of the father is in that child. It's what forms the child. So in the spiritual, when God appoints a spiritual father over you, out of the gift, grace upon that man, you can receive, plus the one that you receive directly from God, so that you can function together, that destiny and plans of God may be fulfilled. I can give you also 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 1. It says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? Then in chapter 10 verse 9, it says, as Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart by laying on of hands. And all these signs were fulfilled that day. When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets were, met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their procession. When all these who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked, what is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? It shall be said about you too. Amen. Something will happen to you tonight, amen, that will differentiate you from who you were before you came in here. If that's all I came here to do, is enough. I've accomplished. I have. But you must understand so that you expect something from God. When I lay hands on you, let me tell you a little bit about me. When I was very small, I used to be very fearful. No kid. Because in my house, there is a corridor from my house to the backyard. And at the backyard is another the opposite the backyard is a forest, a little mini forest, but a big tree, and witches hold their meetings on the tree. African witches are different from English witches. African witches, in the physical, when they are awake, they go to church, they go to mosque, they go to function. They don't meet physically. But when they want to meet, they go to their bed and sleep, and then they fly out of their bodies. That's African witchcraft. It was when I got to England, I discovered that witches will wear a t-shirt, "I am a witch," and go to meeting like you come to church. That's how English witches meet. But African witches dare not say, "I'm a witch," because someone will stone them to death. So because they know that they will be stoned to death if they put the badge, "I'm a witch," even this is their children that will throw them out, that stone her for me. So African witches, therefore, they have gone to advanced level. They will sleep and they will go out of their body. So when I'm coming out in the night, I will peep out of my door. No one is there. I will run when no one is chasing me because of darkness. I will run as I run. Because my mom is outside. Once I run to where my mom is, I'm bold. And nothing will happen to me. And in those days, there's a witch woman opposite my room. And that witch woman, I will have dreams. And she will put on a mask and keep beating me. And I'll be screaming. I'll be shouting. Then I told my dad, "This is what's happening to me on the dream." He said, "When you are there, call Jesus." He said, "Your father can't help you there." And so I began to pray. And then after some time, they will come again and beat me up. And I say, I can call Jesus. I can say Jesus out. And then I wake up panting. I say, "Jesus, Jesus." My father said to me, I went to my dad and said, "This is what happened." He said, You are too full of eba. All the time you eat. Pray and fast, son. He said, "You'll be trained." And so I started praying, observing the hours of prayer. And one day, they surrounded me with their masquerade. And then I said, "In the name of Jesus." And something picked me up and lifted me above them. As a small boy, now you know I'm older, both in body, in age, and in sense. And a rod came to my hand, and I started hitting their head, hitting their head, hitting their head, and the head of them all, I ran to her and pulled the mask off. And I punched her face. Okay? And she screamed, begging me not to kill her. And the mercy of God let her loose. And I got up from my dream. I went to my dad. I woke my dad up in the midnight. I said, "I done it. I got it now." My dad said, "What did you do?" And I told my dad. My dad said, "Now then, tomorrow we'll see the sign." So in the morning, I couldn't wait. I quickly went to her door and knocked the door. Usually when I go to greet her in the morning, she opens the door and says, "Yeah, how are you?" I knocked the door. I said, "Mama, it's me." She said, I said, "Open your door. Open your door. I want to greet you." So I found the door open. In Africa, you prostrate. So I prostrated. I said, "Mama, how are you?" Her face has swollen physically, red with blood, physically. Because my dad said, if you dented her a blow there, when you wake up, you'll see that mark in that face. Hello? So, maybe you are still in the stage that you are running in the darkness. No problem. You are going through process. Okay? Maybe you are still having some dreams and they are chasing you. You are jumping over the wall and then you see yourself in Glasgow while you are in Bristol. And then you discover that when you are running about, you don't know where you're going. You wake up. Don't worry. You are still growing. Today when I lay hands on you, something will happen in your spirit. Something will happen in your spirit. Write these scriptures down. 5 more minutes. And we'll do this. Do you know who you are? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. It says, "If a man therefore is in Christ Jesus, is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new." I told you yesterday, you may not look changed to yourself from the confession when you confess Jesus, but the fact is that something has entered you, and it's called the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, you may not be able to do all the things I'm doing immediately. What happens is this, that Holy Spirit of God begins to tutor your human mind to try to reprogram you. You remember I told you 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16? You have the mind of Christ. Yeah? They may beat you on your dream, no problem. You are going to beat them back.
Amen.
Hmm? Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Don't give the devil any glory. If the devil stalled you when you're running, tell him, I'm coming back. Are we together now? So you might be at the growing stage, but the Spirit of God is in you. Get me now? Second thing is this. If you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Let me show you something there. It says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. I love that. He says, and sisters. But many brothers. Because in the Lord, we are all sons. Listen to me. Who are you programmed to become like? The Son of God. From the day you are saved, Holy Spirit enters you and he starts to work you to become like Jesus Christ on earth. In this Bristol, you and I will walk on the street as Jesus will walk on the street. We will heal their sick on the street. We will cast out their demons on the street. We will get people saved on the street. It's a process. But the Spirit that is in Jesus is in you. Did you get me now? But God predestined us or pre-programmed. That predestined means he pre-programmed us. Once you accept Jesus Christ, you enter into the programming. And gradually you change. 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 Look, I will sit down here, you cast out demons before my eyes. It's going to happen to you. Huh? If we are to conform with the Son of God, then the question is, who is Jesus himself? Who is the Son of God after whom you are to conform? Look at the book of Colossians very quickly. Chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. That is Jesus. He is the visible image of the invisible God. I say he is the manifestation of the invisible God. He is the visibility of the invisible God.
Amen.
The Father cannot be seen, but the Son can be seen. Yes. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
I was sharing with a brother today, and a good number of you know this. I have been to heaven severally. Like when you have holiday, you choose where you want to go, isn't it? Some of you choose to go to Miami. You choose to go to Mickey Mouse. You choose to go to Dubai. You choose to go to Qatar. Where you are planning your holiday, I'm planning mine too. I choose to go to heaven. Hallelujah, somebody. I choose to go to heaven. You know, when mommy takes me out for holiday, after 24 hours, I'm fed up. I don't know what to do. For true. I remember sometime they took me to Mickey Mouse. The guy who owns the Mickey Mouse is a friend of mine. And so he gave all the family free ticket. And they got us. They took us from one place to the other. And they took me to one place. And I joined them, not knowing the calamity that is waiting in there. I thought it was a pleasure. And we went through some tunnels. Dark places. And by the time we came up, I tell you, the whole of my interest time was almost flying out of me. I said, my God, why did I do this to myself? Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. The moment the roller coaster, what they call it, coaster, dropped me, I said to them, the rest I don't want. I cannot kill myself with my own hand. But, you know, my kids were saying, yay! You know, my head was spinning. My tummy was spinning. The whole members of my body was disengaged. When we finished that, I said, okay, you know my own Mickey Mouse? I will sit down here. The Lord said, sit down. I sit here. You guys keep going. And they went to everything. I was looking at them. They went into something that we rode and shoot them out into the water. I sat down, I was looking at them. Everything was fine all over the whole place. Listen to me. What I'm saying to you is this. As you can get a holiday and go to Mickey Mouse and go to Dubai, you can get a holiday and go to heaven too. It's your mindset, what you desire. You know, holiday, God allowed you to go. He gave you the money to do it because you desire to do so. So, why, if you decide to just see heaven for once, as you plan for a holiday for 1 year, keep planning for it, you will get there.
Amen.
Are we together now? Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. Come on. Now, I will tell you one more thing before we stop and I will lay hands on you. You need to know the asset you have. He's Jesus. He lives inside you and I. It says, by him, verse 16, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or principalities or powers or dominion rulers of darkness, all things were created by him and for him. So Jesus created Lucifer. He created all demons. He created all angels. And he created you and I. Now, do you know something? He does not live in angels. As holy as they are, he lives in you and I. Is that not amazing?
Yes, sir.
Is that not amazing?
Yes, sir.
You know, it makes me feel power drunk.
Oh, yes.
What is the power you cannot confront? Tell me. Who can be against you? Who? You see, if you look at this scripture, he didn't say that alone. He said he's before all things and by him all things hold together. Verse 17. And I love verse 18. Let's read verse 18 together. And he is
the head of the body, the church, he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead.
Look.
So that in everything we may have supremacy.
Oh, excuse me. And he is the head of who? Me. Are you not part of the body?
Yes, sir.
Oi. Bristol, answer me. Are you part of the body?
Yes, sir.
Remember I told you something about the head? Everything the body is doing comes from the head. Yeah? You blink, is the head that blinks. You move your right hand, is the head that moves it. You move your left hand, the head. So if I move my left hand and I slap the devil, it doesn't matter, it's the head that slapped the devil. You can't charge me for it. He is your head. Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Whether you are awake or you are asleep, he is your head. And you know something he says to me here? The head of the body, the church, he is the beginning and the firstborn from among all the dead. So that in everything he may take supremacy. I think by these two things should come to your mind. Number one, what should you be afraid of? Nothing. He sees everything that happens to you before they happen. As a father, he must allow you and I to figure it out so that we can mature. I'm a father and I've raised sons. You know, a number of them, the joy of the father is to see his boys growing up and doing like him. All right? Taking over before his eyes. I told all the youths in London now, you know, you are starting your youth convention on Monday, that after this convention, I want to sit down and you guys manifest. When I come to Bristol and I take you out to the streets, you know what I'm going to do? We'll go and knock the doors of witches and wizards and go to their coven. And then when I roast them out, I say, you deal with them. And I put my hands on my back. And you will deal with them. You will see how easy it is. If anybody raises ugly head, I can knock the head down. I can finish it. Finish the job. Some went with me to Africa. That's what I did. I told them to bring all their devils and demons and idols and stuff. When they brought them, I wasn't about. It is they who picked up the idols. And so a pastor came and told them that, no, you can't touch those things. They are dangerous. You know what members of our church said? They said that Apostle taught us that it's nothing. And to us, this stuff are not dangerous. They may be dangerous to you, pastors, but not to us. and the members of CFT Church. And these are pastors who believe that devil is something. They said, no, we'll take it. And they picked it up with their hands. And, you know, when I came and they brought all the articles to me, the deities, and what is this called? The owner said, this is the name of this god. And I took the god, I slammed it to the ground. And when I hit the ground with it, I said, God, stand up. He couldn't stand up. I said, God, stand up. He couldn't stand up. So you can't stand up and you are terrorizing people. I mashed him on the floor. All right. I said, look at your God now. All of you in this city, look at your God. And that is the God they dear so much. Mentioning the name of that God is enough to send fear to the spine of those people. And everyone went, and I told my boys to burn it. Your members burnt it. So that they wouldn't say it's apostle who burnt it. They burnt it. Why? We have one head. He's the creator of all things visible and invisible. That's the reason why any situation you are, you need to learn this. Call on the name Jesus. He will answer you. Instead of crying to yourself about circumstances, tell your circumstances, I'm not going to cry to you. Go on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, look at, do something, Lord. You'll be shocked at the answer you will get and the speed of the reply because you turned it to Jesus. Don't pity yourself for any reason. Today may be sorrowful. There is a bright tomorrow coming something. Amen. Let me help you know this. Pastor was telling me about 40 years ago, he came to Bristol from Nigeria just with portmanteau. You know what portmanteau is? Briefcase, suitcase, portmanteau. Suitcase. In those days, you have, when they send you off, they send you off with one portmanteau. Okay? And he came to Bristol expecting that when he gets to Bristol, he will see people like in Nigeria. He just say, hello, boy. What are you doing here? Follow me home. He got there. He didn't know where he was going. He went to this square. Where's the square? This roundabout. And he was there. He said to himself, boy, you are in a strange city. Oh, my God. Do something here now. He doesn't know where he will sleep that night. He doesn't know anybody in the city. And here is a young man. Come from Nigeria, you know, and he felt that Bristol is just like Lagos. And he sat down. As he was wondering, a man saw him and said, oh, young man, you have a problem? He said, yes, sir. He said, what's your problem? I've just came from Nigeria. I don't have a place to sleep. Oh, the man said, oh, go to YMCA there. We will host you for 1 week. You see how God did it? God made the YMCA man to walk past the place because God knew that he was coming there. He said, go there. And then they housed him for 1 week. And he was telling me now in the same country, you know, he's an electrical engineer. He studied electrical engineering. He became a director in electrical engineering. He has houses in London now. But when we came here, he remembered that roundabout or roundabout. Like somebody called it Randabuti. Hallelujah, somebody. Wow! But you know something? Even at that time, Jesus was directing him. He thought he was suffering. I have my own stories. You can check on the website of my books. You see. Hello, somebody. I am telling you. It doesn't matter what you are going through now. Don't cry to yourself anymore. Cry to Jesus. Amen. Make it Jesus' problem. Don't look at yourself and regret because he took all the regrets. Don't look at yourself and remember the past, all whatever blunder you have done, and say that maybe God is punishing me. He cannot punish you anymore. He cannot. God cannot punish you. Jesus paid the price. Whenever you think about your bad past, you know what to do? Begin to say, Satan, you rebelled in heaven and God condemned you. You are the one going to hell. I'm going to paradise. Because my past, he remembers no more. If you do that, you will discover that thought will just vanish because it is some spirit of hell trying to pull you back. They are the one whispering to your mind at that time. If your eyes open, you see them. You'll be very angry if God opens your eyes. You don't nurse anything that God does not approve of. Okay? I'm defeated? No, you are not. I may be on my back, but I'm not defeated. Amen. The Bible says the righteous will fall 7 times, but they will rise up 10 times. Again and again and again. Until they learn to stand and take their ground. The end of your matter is victory.
Amen.
Listen to me. Jesus is the head of all powers. Finally, look at chapter 2, verse 9. You'll find yourself in this, Colossians 2, 9. Shall we read it together, please? Did you see that? So the Jesus Christ inside you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is inside him. Yeah? If someone walked into this place tonight, a murderer, pedophile, transgender, homosexual, witches, Muslim, Hindu, and he says, I haven't heard the gospel, say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I ask you to come into my heart. The moment he said it, Jesus enters. Every spirit that he came with, what would they do? They would run out. Because they recognize the one who came in is the maker. He created them. So how can someone say that after you accept Jesus, we need to cast the spirit out? If Jesus is living in this body, where are those demons living? Impossible. Because when you switch on the light, you cannot cast out darkness. It's gone. You want darkness to leave this place and you are praying, I command you, darkness, go, 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 it remain. Because the recipe to get the darkness out is to press the switch on the wall. The recipe to be free from Satan and satanic bondage is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For whoever the Son shall set free is free indeed. You can jive anywhere you like in the kingdom of God. There's no limit to you. Are we together now? I may feel demonic oppressed, but however, I am free. I may feel something working on my head. It must be the Holy Spirit, I say. I may feel something is working on my body. Like some people say something is working on my body. I said to them, are you born again? They say, yes. I say, I feel the Spirit. Everything's going to be all right. I've met people who come to my church after going to deliverance churches. And they said, Apostle, I watch on television. I know you can deliver me. When they say that, I said, this one is from the other place. And I'll say to them that, you see, I am the apostle you have come to. I myself, I can't deliver myself. do you get what I'm saying now? Are you born again? Say yes. So if you're born again, what deliverance are you looking for? And he said, because something is working in my body. Something is working in your body. Is your body the temple of God? He said, yes. So what's your problem when God in the temple is working in his temple? He said, apostle, you don't understand. I said, I understand. You are the one who didn't understand. Are you born again? Have you said, Jesus, I surrender my life to you? You said yes. And something is working in your body? Yes, yes. I said, when you asked Jesus to come in, did he come in, really? He said, yeah, he did come in. Okay, if he came in and your body is now his temple, what's your business about someone else's temple? It's no more your body, it's now his temple. So if it pleases him for anything to be there with him, God bless God. Are you kidding what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
As far as I'm concerned, now that I'm born again, what I want to know is my right.
Yes.
I don't want to know the right of Satan. I want to know my right.
Amen.
Because the more of my right I know, the more I can exercise it, and the more God can be pleased with me. Instead of mind about something is working in my body, leave it alone. I said to them, if you say demons is in my body working, I don't care. I keep on obeying God. I keep on preaching the word of God. When I die, I will take those two demons. They must not go. I will carry them to paradise. So that they will go and teach them another lesson. When I get to heaven, I will first say, Michael! Michael! I brought them! I brought them! They were so silly that they were in my body. Until I died, I took hold of them. Hallelujah. But this is the fact. No demon will dare to face Michael. Hallelujah, somebody. Because all the angels of heaven are still full with anger and fury against the devil. So don't let someone tell you that some demons are in your body. Tell them they are good demons. They are demons that will rapture. Hallelujah. Or when you die, you take those demons along with you as hand baggage and go and show them to Jesus. It can never be. Those things are lies of the devil. Because if the Son therefore make you free, Jesus says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you open, I and my Father will come into you. Hello? This scripture says, for in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in the bodily form. Then verse 10, let's read it together. It's for you. Say it loud. And in Christ,
you have been brought to fullness.
You know, the old NIV says, and in Christ, you have got the fullness. The previous one say, in Jesus, the fullness of God, in the bodily form. And then he said, you also have this fullness in you. Do you know what we want to do in CFT? Okay? I don't care about your number. Your number doesn't at all. Jesus, only 12 people. Turn the world around. But this is what I'm very much concerned about. That you know the God I have known. That you don't think that I am holier than you. We are equally holy. Because our holiness, we did not earn it. He gave it to us equally. Don't you say I'm more anointed than you? No, we have the same anointing. Okay, so which means anything you see me do, you can do also. Jesus says that, isn't it? John 14, 12. If you have faith in me, Jesus said, you will do the things I've been doing. Greater works shall you do. I want to see you do greater works.
Amen.
I've been preaching for years. Now I want to rest. So that it's your turn to preach. I've cast out demons out everywhere. In India, in Africa, in America, in England. Now, let me relax. It's your turn to go cast everyone out there. If you don't know where they are, I'll take you there. Hallelujah. You go cast them out. And I say, look at him. He's casting you out. Don't be afraid of anything. The God that lives in me lives in you. The one who appeared unto me several years over times again, he also lives inside you. And the encounters that I have got, you will have it.
Amen.
Last month, the 19th of June, we were in Island of Patmos when an angel appeared to me and taught me for 3 hours over. I was sharing that with him. The angel was speaking to me for 3 hours over. I said to the Lord, how can I come to Island of Patmos and go back to your people in London? What story will I tell them? In this same island, you appeared to John. I am in the island and I see nothing. Something is wrong with me. God appeared to me too. That night, an angel appeared. And he taught me three things, key things about you and God. Okay? In the beginning of the year, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about the government of England. And he showed me a vision by an angel where I saw Britain like a sheep without shepherd. And we were all going about. We had no more leader. And I published it. On January 1, I see this nation, a sheep without a shepherd. And God said, mark the month of May, the month of July, and the month of October. All right? Month of May, what happened? Theresa May was taken out. Month of July, what happened? Boris Johnson was installed. Month of October, what is going to happen? We are breaking the chain.
Amen.
Let me say this. When I lay hands on you today, your eyes will be open.
Amen.
When I lay hands on you today, the boldness that you did not work for will come upon you.
Amen.
You need boldness to operate faith. And God is pleased with any man who has faith. Faith is just, God say jump, you jump. You don't say why. You just jump. That is what faith is. And without faith, no one pleases God. And with faith, you please God. When I lay hands on you, any grace that you covet, and you have been seeking God about it, by the laying on of hands tonight, they will be yours for free. Amen. The Holy Spirit will rest upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just with you guys, God will change Bristol. Amen. To the place where people will come from all the surrounding villages because they are hearing what God is doing through you in Bristol. Amen. It's not going to be Apostle Williams, it's going to be you. Amen. This is your territory. I can just come and support you, but you are the one that will manifest in this Bristol. Amen. You will chase out the devil out of this city. Amen. And then you move to Bradford and Leeds and take over. Your time has come, Amen. Says the Spirit of the Most High. Amen. Stand up on your feet, please.